Because we are coming into the Christmas season, we wanted to bring a series of messages on the purpose of His coming. Unfortunately, with all of the pressures that the Christmas season brings, the frustrations of finding that gift that you had decided to purchase is sold out and not available until February, and all of the other pressures and problems of parking and crowds and the pressures of Christmas, so many times sort of cloud from our view the real purpose and meaning of the holiday. What are we really celebrating? And so we seek in the next few Sunday mornings to focus our attention upon the real meaning of Christmas, the purpose of His coming. In the first epistle of John, chapter 3 and verse 8, John declares to us, "He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil." John tells us this is the reason for Christmas. This is the reason that the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. We might ask, what are the works of the devil? In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus talking to those Pharisees that were opposing Him. He said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust or desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He did not abide in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. And when He speaks a lie, He speaks of His own nature, for He is a liar, and He is the father of lies." The work of Satan is that of a murderer. Jesus said to them, "The work of your father you will do." He was predicting the fact that they were going to put Him to death. But in declaring the fact that Satan was a murderer, He said He was that from the beginning. When God placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He gave them all kinds of liberty, free run of the place. God said, "Of all of the trees that are in the garden, you may freely eat, with the exception of that tree that is there in the middle of the garden. You shall not eat of that tree, and in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die." Satan came into the garden and he said to Eve, "Has God said that you can eat of all of the trees that are in the garden?" Eve said, "Yes, with the exception of that one tree in the middle of the garden, and God told us that if we would eat of it, we would surely die." Satan said, "You will not surely die, but God knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, you will become as God, knowing good from evil." Basically, he was saying to Eve that God is trying to hold you back from something that is beneficial, something that is for your benefit and for your good. Thus, God is not really treating you in a fair way, for God's trying to keep you back in order to protect himself, that you would not be as he is. And Eve succumbed to the temptation of Satan, and she ate, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat, and they both died spiritually. Their spirits died, and their fellowship with God was broken. Paul tells us in Romans that by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed unto all men, for all sinned. Satan destroyed the spiritual life of Adam and Eve, a murderer, as Jesus said from the beginning. He is always seeking to destroy life, the life of God in man. And thus Satan was guilty of murder. And their spiritual death ultimated in their physical death. The Bible tells us that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God gave to us the handbook whereby we should live. He established his law. He gave us the rules. The rules that would lead to a long, happy, successful life. In Psalm 1, we are told, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but who delights himself in the law of God. And in this law does he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper." Who is the happy man? The man who studies and meditates and seeks to keep the law of God, because the law of God was intended to bring you into a happy, full, fruitful, rich, abundant life. The life that man shares when he lives in fellowship with God. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit, the fruitful life. His leaf also shall not wither, that is, A long life, longevity is promised. And then a prosperous life, whatsoever he does, prospers. That's the law of God. That was the purpose of the law of God. But how many times Satan comes along and says, "Well, did God say that you're not to commit adultery? God's just trying to keep you back from something that's exciting and pleasurable. Oh, this is just such a exciting experience, and your marriage has grown rather dull, and your wife doesn't really understand you." And he begins to, you know, give you this line, this lie. God's holding you back. God's law is too restrictive. It's too restraining. You can really have a lot of joy and excitement. You have to break the bonds that God's law has upon your life to do it. But God isn't fair in placing those kind of restrictions. And how many people like Eve listen to the lies of Satan and experience this spiritual death because they violated the law of God, and they begin to experience the misery, the emptiness of a life spiritually dead, separated from God. They begin to experience the hell of a life separated from God. Jesus said that Satan was a liar. Another one of the works of Satan is that of lying to men. One of the greatest difficulties in dealing with the communists today is that they have redefined the word truth. To the communists, truth is anything that advances the cause of communism. Now, with that kind of a definition, they can promise you anything, they can tell you anything. And in our idea and understanding of truth, they can look you right in the face and say, well, we promise not to send any arms in there. We'll sign the pact. And so we sign the pact and we think, no, you know, we promise. I mean, after all, Scouts honor. But to them, they can go ahead and send in troops and you say, wait a minute, you lied. No. Anything that advances the communist cause to them is the truth. And so with this whole new glossary, this whole new definition of truth and lie, how can you really sit down and negotiate with them? How can you really enter into any kind of an agreement? Because we are defining our terms in such different ways. I have found that and I've sought to make a practice of never trying to get in an argument with a liar. You can't win. Because you may present to him a list of facts. And he says, oh, last week they just discovered that those were wrong. You know, there was an article, I read it in the paper, and they go on with a lie. And so they will put down the whole thing that you said with their lie. They don't care. And so you can never win an argument with a liar. You might as well just quit trying. Satan is a liar from the beginning. The truth is nothing to Satan. He can swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and just turn right around and lie. And his deception and his lies have led people into bondage and into corruption. To Satan, the truth is anything that promotes his cause. And his cause is to destroy you. And thus, he is constantly contradicting the word of God, even as he did with Eve. God said, the day that you eat it, you'll die. Satan said, you won't die. Now, Eve has a choice. Do I believe what God told me, or do I believe what Satan tells me? But Satan sounds so convincing. He says God is just trying to hold me back from something that is good. And it surely looks good. And she has to make the choice. Who do I believe? And this happens to us constantly. We have God's word on an issue, a subject. And Satan comes along and he challenges the word of God in our own hearts. And then I must determine, do I believe the word of God or do I believe what Satan is telling me? God's word says that God loves you. So often Satan is challenging that. And he says, how can God love you? Look at yourself. Look at the mess you've made of your life. And you think God loves you after all you've done? Don't kid yourself. God's finished with you. God doesn't care anything about you. And it's amazing how many people come in for counseling who are just so upset because they believe that God isn't interested in them anymore. God has cast them off. They've committed the unpardonable sin. God doesn't love them. And Satan has convinced them of this. Now, God says that he loves you. Satan says, nah, he can't love you. Now, who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe God, who says he loves you? Or are you going to believe Satan that would challenge that truth? God's word says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Satan says to you that God is tired of forgiving you, that you knew what you were doing when you did it, and therefore there is no forgiveness for you. You're out. God is just tired, sick and tired of dealing with your weaknesses and your failures, and so you're out. Now, who do I believe? God, who said there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? Or do I believe Satan that tells me I am condemned, I'm guilty, God doesn't want to offer any further grace or mercy towards me, he's fed up with my weaknesses and my failures? That he has a charge against you that's a mile long, and you have no hope of forgiveness. It's amazing how many people believe Satan's lies. They go around guilt-ridden all the time. They live in a constant state of guilt because Satan has pressed upon them their failures and their weaknesses. And they don't believe God, who says that the charges have been dismissed. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. God's word said that if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Satan says, no, God hasn't forgiven you. Your sin was too great. And he tries to make you believe that there isn't forgiveness for you. And yet God said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. Now, who do you believe? You see, all the way along, Satan challenges every truth of God. And I have to then determine, do I believe what God's word has said, or do I believe what my thoughts and what Satan is planning in my mind? Now, I might add that you have every reason in the world to believe what God has said. For God is not a man that he should lie. And really, you have no reason in all of the world to believe Satan. That guy's been a liar from the beginning. And it just makes sense to believe what God says rather than to believe what Satan is trying to tell you. In referring to Satan, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The work of Satan is to rob you from the work that God wants to do in your life. He would steal your love, your peace, your joy that God would have you to experience in Christ Jesus. He would steal the blessings of God from you. But the ultimate work of Satan is that of destruction. And as you look around, we can see how Satan has destroyed so many lives. He will destroy all that is of value and worth in your life. Look at how many homes have been destroyed by Satan. Look at the countless lives that have been destroyed by the devil. The devil's work is that of a murderer, a liar, a thief, and a destroyer. But Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. These works of Satan in destroying man have themselves been destroyed by the power of Jesus Christ. The devil is a murderer, Jesus said from the beginning. He brought death into the world. And Jesus has destroyed that work of Satan by bringing life. He that hath the Son of God hath everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And for that work of Satan in murdering, in killing, Jesus destroyed that work by the life that he imparts. John said, this is the record. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he who has the Son has life. Jesus destroyed the work of Satan in lying by bringing to man the truth about God. John tells us that the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And if you want to know the truth about God, Jesus came to destroy the lies of Satan by revealing to man the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And the devil had lied and continues to lie to man concerning God and the nature of God. He told you God did not love you, that God was not just, that God was against you, that God was just wanting really to wipe you out and waiting for you to make the mistake so he could just rub you out. But Jesus said, not so. God loves you more than you could ever know or understand or realize. Paul said he prayed for the Ephesians that they might understand what is the length and the breadth and the depth and the height of the love of Jesus Christ, which passes human understanding. God loves you more than you can know. Jesus taught us that God is just, but he is also merciful and ready to forgive and to abundantly pardon. Jesus told us that God is not against us, that God is for us. And that God has provided for us that power of his Holy Spirit to enable us to live that kind of a life that would be pleasing unto him. Jesus said that it was the Father's desire that you as his child dwell with him. And in his Father's house there were many mansions, and he was going to prepare one for you. And that if he went to prepare one, he would come again and receive you, that where he is, you may be also. I have been accused of being a doting grandfather. I must confess, the accusations are correct. I am guilty. I am a doting grandfather. My grandchildren can do no wrong in my eyes. Their temper tantrums are just cute little ways of expressing their frustrations. My children tell me that they have an extremely difficult time handling their children for a few days after they've been with Grandpa. It's exciting. Grandkids are the greatest thing God ever invented. And I love to just dote on my grandchildren. And you know, God is like a doting father or grandfather. He loves us so much. He desires to do so much for us. Now, it doesn't mean that I am not practical and I am not stern at times with my grandchildren. I have one little grandson who is especially rambunctious. Great little guy. Love the life out of that little kid. And many times when we get out of the car, he starts running through the parking lot to the Toys R Us. He's so anxious to get in and Grandpa to buy him a toy. And I call his name very sharply. And I say, "Stop." And I say, "Don't you ever run through the parking lot. You take hold of Grandpa's hands and you walk with Grandpa because it's dangerous to run through the parking lot." And I say it very sternly and very severely. Not that I hate the little kid. But I'm concerned for his safety. And he knows that. He looks up with that smile and says, "Sorry, Gramps." And all's forgiven. And we go in and get the toy. Sometimes when we are doing things that are threatening, life-threatening, dangerous, God sometimes pulls us up short. He speaks sternly. And Satan says, "Look, he hates you. You see, he doesn't love you. He's talking to you mean, you know." And Satan lies to you about God. And in reality, God is only protecting you. He sees the danger. He knows the danger. And because of his love for you, he must at times deal severely or sternly. But it's not a sign of the absence of love, but of love. The Bible says, "Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." And sometimes the Father finds it necessary to chasten us for love's sake. But how quickly we misinterpret that. Oh, grandkids are master psychologists. They do their best to make you feel guilty. And when they don't get what they want, they'll say, "I told you you didn't love me." Smart little kids. And they know you're going to say, "Oh, but Grandma, you know, you don't love me. You love me. You gave it for me, you know." And oftentimes I say, "Because I love you, I'm not getting it for you. You don't need that .22 rifle." God is a doting father, loves his children immensely. Jesus told us so. Where the devil, according to Jesus, has come to steal from you, breaking your relationship with God and bringing you into spiritual death, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. Where Satan, the work of Satan is that of destroying. He seeks to destroy you. Jesus has come to build up that which Satan has torn down. The world is always made up of two different types of people, one who destroys, the other who builds. There are people who, wherever they go, they leave trash behind. There are people who, wherever they go, they pick up the trash that is there. There are people, wherever they have been, the place is a little worse for the fact that they have been there. Other people, wherever they go, the place is a little better for the fact that they have been there. There are two types of people, those that destroy and those that build. That's just the way it is. Satan's work is that of destroying. The work of Jesus is that of building. Thus, those who are under Satan's power are seeking to destroy. Those that are under the power of Jesus Christ are seeking to build. Let me ask you, tell me, how many universities, orphanages, and hospitals can you think of that were built by atheists for the good of mankind? And yet look at the numbers of universities and hospitals and orphanages that have been created through the influence of Christianity. There are men today that are seeking to destroy the moral values of our entire society by filling our newsstands with pornography. And these men, for profit, are willing to publish all kinds of pornography which inflames the passions of men and creates assaults against women and this horrible problem that we have today with children who are sexually abused. These men care not that they are destroying your morals. They care not that they are destroying little children who become the victims of people who have these unbridled lusts that have been created by their observing and watching these pornographic things. They care not for the woman that is raped and suffers that outrage of being raped. They care not because they are destroying and they are bent on destroying. Look at what a tremendous destroyer alcohol and drugs are. Look at the thousands of lives that are being destroyed and have been destroyed by these things. And yet, look how men are willing to continue the trafficking in drugs and alcohol for their own profit, caring not that it may be destroying others. Oh, the destructive work of Satan in the world around us today. But Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And to me, the most beautiful thing is to see a life that's been destroyed by Satan. And see that life rebuilt, remade into the image of Jesus Christ. And to see that work that God does in restoring and renewing and rebuilding. And my, I look around and I see Mike McIntosh and Raul Reese and Greg Laurie and Jeff Johnson and Joe Foch and Bill Gallatin and all of these guys whose lives were so destroyed by the power of Satan. And I see what Jesus has done and is doing in and through their lives today. And my heart rejoices that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. The devil who had destroyed and had these guys on the ropes, and they were almost gone. But Jesus came. And he destroyed that work of Satan in their life. And he made something of them of value and worth, as he has done for each of us. Taking us from darkness to light, from death to life. Oh, the glorious work of Jesus. He came to destroy the work of Satan. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what we're celebrating. Man who was lost and hopelessly lost, bound by the power of Satan, whose life was in darkness, who experienced spiritual death, has been brought to life, to hope, to joy, as the work of God within him has restored that which Satan had destroyed and given us life again, hope again, peace again, love again. For the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Think of that when you think of Christmas. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this time of the year when again our hearts are turned towards Bethlehem, toward a child that was born there in a manger, towards the child who was none other than the Son of God, who came to reveal to us the truth of God, who came to free us from the power of sin, who came to destroy the work of Satan that was holding us in bondage and to set us free. How we thank you, Lord, for that babe born in Bethlehem, that unto us a child was born, and that you gave your Son to be the Savior of this world. Lord, let this be the Christmas season in which our hearts and our minds remain focused upon the real meaning of Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your life is making the world a better place or a worse place? A cleaner place or a dirtier place? Because there are two kinds of people: those who build and those who destroy. Maybe you're tired of destroying. You can look around and see your path of destruction. You've destroyed so many people. You're destroying yourself. And you may be tired of this destruction. You've tried to change, you haven't been able to. Jesus is the power for change. I would encourage you this day to surrender your life to him. Become a builder. Become one who makes the world a better place. Makes those around you better people. Because you, being filled with Christ and his love, begin to reach out to build. to build His love and His work in the lives of others. If you're tired of destroying and being destroyed, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. The pastors will be back there to pray with you. God can turn your life around today. Jesus came. He was manifested that He might destroy the work of Satan, that work of Satan that has been destroying you. And you can know His power, His love, His victory. May the Lord be with you and bless you as this week we go out in the midst of a world that really doesn't understand what Christmas is all about. A world that is pushing and shoving and grabbing and grasping. May the peace of Christ, the love of God, presence of the Holy Spirit just overshadow and give you strength. Keep your mind centered on Him and help you to live above the morass of this world. In Jesus' name.